Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome back to episode 89 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We have no tie here today, thank God. So we have no low energy introduction, and we have no smart ass comments going to be made throughout the entire podcast.
Finally.
But we have some exciting things to talk about today. We're going to talk about what's happening in Montreal. Marc Bergevin, the French speaking GM, who's the sub candidates. And then we're going to talk about the Jack Hughes contract that just got handed out, the Brendan Lemieux incident, Marchand and his news in the past couple of days. And then we'll end it off with probably the conversation about the Jack Adams poll that NHL went through. So we'll get into the intro now, and then we'll come back and see you soon.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Okay, we're back. Montreal. What is happening in Montreal? Break it down for us. Well, I mean, well, I guess we're breaking it down for you.
Well, they finally fired Bergevin and Timmins, who have been there for...
Timmins is the 11. Scout or draft guy?
Head of
the
he draft? Was assistant GM and was the one, yeah, that kind of headed their draft strategy, essentially.
Okay.
Both were fired along with their head of communications. I forget the dude's name. Yeah. But probably not a bad call there. Yeah, I mean, it was a literal clearing out of the front office, essentially. So, and you don't see that very often. Usually you see like a GM fired and then the assistant GM takes their place, or you see, you know, both fired. You don't usually see like GM, assistant GM, head of public relations and communications.
Yeah.
All fired kind of all in one go.
I've never seen an announcement that the head of public communications has been fired, to be honest. I was like, this seems
open, I guess. Is the first time ever that I've heard of that happening.
You think he wrote his own press release? Was that his final act? Also, Martin, pull your mic closer to your face, buddy.
I haven't said a word, though.
I know, but I know it's a mile from your face because it's like an echo.
Yeah, it is like an echo, Martin. Come on, get it together, buddy. We've been doing this now for 89 episodes.
I feel like the sound might...
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I can barely hear you too.
Right next to it.
Then you probably have the wrong mic selected, and it's too late for that now. So we're just going to go with this. So just...
We're just not listening to Martin today.
We're just not listening to Martin. We don't really need to listen to him because his team lost 6-2 to the Vancouver Canucks tonight.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
And our team won 8-3 against the Stanley Cup favorites. So how about that, Martin?
And you let Tyler Mott score a goal against you, too.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing there, buddy.
And Alex Chiasson.
Kind of suck.
So... Okay,
Luke Shen. Oh my God!
Yeah, Luke Shen. Luke Shen score. Luke Shen dangled the entire team on the outside, cut to the front of the net, scored top shelf. It wasn't just like a fluky goal.
at least Ottawa is now 4-15-1.
It's true. They're much closer to who's the number one pick, right? Shane Wright?
Shane Wright, yeah. Which is probably not a bad idea for them anyways. They kind of need that. I feel like they need him. So
yeah, that's definitely the mic that you're using right there at the top of your computer there, Martin, because I heard that the most.
Yeah. Huh?
That's very disappointing.
Yeah. Well,
good job. How
that happened.
I don't know either. So Montreal fires Bergevin. Where do they go from here? I mean, they hired Jeff Morton, or no,
Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon. Morton. I was combining Jeff Molson with Horton. What do you think is – what do you think is going to happen there? Because it sounds like he's going to be the boss.
He's going to be their operations guy. So, you know, the GM isn't just making moves and making trades and stuff. He's deciding who goes up and down. He's deciding, you know, running the team, essentially. That's his kind of job in the meantime while they find a replacement for Bergevin. They're going to have to get someone that speaks French because they're ridiculous. And they can't apparently you can't teach someone how to speak French. Apparently they just need to know French already.
No, apparently you can't hire a translator.
Or you can't, I mean, you don't, the thing is, like, I mean, Martin knows this too, right? Like anything in Europe, or like anyone that's watched like European soccer or European sports knows, if a guy from England moves to the Spanish league, or if someone from the Spanish league moves to England, they just learn the language. It's a player, it's a coach, it doesn't matter. They, or anyone in management, whatever it is, they learn the language.
Players
do learn the language. They don't become like as fluent as the coach, but like every, like Cristiano Ronaldo, he can speak English, he can speak Portuguese, he can speak Spanish, and so on and so forth, right? So they always at least learn enough because the entire team speaking that language. So it's kind of ridiculous that they're just like, oh, GM needs to be French. Just hire anyone who you think is the best for the job. Not that I think they're going to do a good job at that regardless, but then hire that guy and then teach him French. Tell him to spend 30 minutes a day learning French or an hour a day learning French, and he'll be in a French environment in a French city. He'll learn, he'll pick up the language pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right. So it's so stupid. But again, I made the point of, like, on our Instagram story, NHL teams pick from like 8 guys anyways. So if Montreal's narrowing themselves to 3 or 4 guys that can speak French, they're narrowing it down even more, but they're still, you know, the entire NHL does that already to themselves. So
yeah, I think it's true. I don't know. I look at it and I get why they want him to be French. Like, I understand it. I just don't think it's a necessary aspect of the role, especially if you can either just have a like the easiest route to go would be have a translator. It really doesn't matter. I understand there's a sanctity to Quebec and French
Canadians.
There are
Canadians, like the French people that are like, I get pandering to the French people that are like, you know, hardcore French or nothing type deal. I get that, but pandering to them would be turning a guy that only speaks English into a guy who speaks French. I feel like that would be enough of a win.
And I mean, like, if you look at it, they turn on their own quite often. Like Bergevin, Claude Julien, every coach, they all eventually turn. Patrick Waugh, like, they all turn on these players anyways. It really doesn't have anything to do with his language they speak. It really has to do with the job.
No matter what, let them hate them from the start. Who cares? They're going to hate them eventually anyways.
So how I understand it is, it seems like Gordon is more so the doing the everything, and the GM is more so the talking piece, the mouth. So that's why he's speaking French. Because Gordon, I don't think Gordon knows any French.
No, yeah. Gordon definitely doesn't know any French. But like he, the VP of operations in any organization is exactly what it says, right? It's operations. It's literally just running the team, organizing shit, making sure everything's coming together, essentially, right?
I would just think that basically it's the same job description as Brendan Shanahan has in Toronto.
Similar, yeah.
You're he's handling the business side but of he things. Doesn't you're handling really operations. Do the, yeah. I don't really know.
everything like that.
I just remember tweeting it out because Jeff Molson, I think, said in his press conference that it's basically going to be like two leaders of the team. And I'm like, that works great in the office and works very well. Any other company that you see is co-managers always are on the same page. Like, it doesn't seem like that's a good direction to go. It never works out well. If Gordon has the ending decisions, like the final decision, like what's the point of having a GM? I don't really get it.
I mean, I don't even, from Montreal's perspective, right? Like we saw what Gordon did when with Boston and with New York, where he was able to make them competitive or make them more competitive and keep them competitive, which he was very good at. But his rebuild in New York individually, and we've talked about this before, he didn't really do a great job, right? A lot of it came down to luck, looking into Lafreniere and moving up 10 spots, moving up, getting Kako, moving up 10 spots.
He could luck into Shane Wright this year.
Yeah, lucking into Shane Wright with Montreal, or lucking into Panarin and Adam Fox only wanting to go to New York, like stuff that, you know, aren't really in his control. So move outside those things. And generally speaking, what he did in New York wasn't exactly great when it came to rebuilding. He kept them competitive for a very long time, which is great. But Montreal needs a rebuild, right? Like they need to get rid of all this dead weight, rebuild the entire roster, focus it around Suzuki, Caulfield, and all, you know, Caden Primeau maybe.
At the end of the day, though, if you luck into things, you still have to do the right thing with that luck. You still have to take the 100%. Opportunity that's given
and he
to
did.
You.
That's and why I don't did. Hate him. That's yeah. why I'm not like he's a bad GM. I'm just saying he's not the guy you want to take you through a rebuild because you can't just rely on, you know,
why
moving
up. Why
do you
get fired in New York again?
It was the whole statement, Ted Dolan, Artemi Panarin, and Tom Wilson incident that kind of led to his firing, resigning, leaving. I don't know.
New York not being tough enough and all this other crap. And
yeah. I don't know. His departure was never really super clear. But so what do we think are the most important three things that Jeff Gorton needs to do in his first 6 months?
I mean, I don't think he's going to be making any big decisions. I think they're going to wait and find a guy to make those decisions. In the meantime, he's just going to run the team, make sure, you know, guys are moving up and down, they're fitting into the cap. He might handle the deadline. He might. I would think they'll have a GM by the deadline though. I don't see him making any big changes. I think the only time they start making those big changes is when they decide on a GM, because I feel like you don't bring in a guy to be VP of operations if you're going to have him make all those big decisions for you at the end of the season. Like, then you might as well make him GM, right?
What are they doing, though, once the GM's there?
I mean, the season's lost. They're not making the playoffs. They have like less than a 1% chance at this point, and that means they'd have to go on like a 70-win pace run essentially just to make it. So there's, you know, the season's over. So, you know, you look at their roster. I'll pull it up right here. But cap friendly. Like, you look at their roster, they have a couple guys
off
with expiring contracts.
Head.
What?
They just signed Hoffman this year, didn't they? They just
yes, yeah,
the
they did
last year.
They gave Ducharme that extension.
Like, yeah, that is rough. But they do have some guys they'll be able to trade off. They'll be able to. Apparently, people are talking about a first round pick for Sherratt, which is absolutely ridiculous. So,
but if you can get it for them, holy fuck, that's good for them.
Yeah, but Martin, you're right. Like they went competitive, which means they should have fired Bergevin way earlier, but they did, and they re-signed Gallagher, who's 29 right now, to a $6.5 million contract for the next 7 years. They locked in Hoffman for the next 3 years. They have a bunch of deals that are a little bit longer. David Savard for 3 years or 4 years, and he's looked awful, like absolutely awful in Montreal so far.
A rich team like Montreal can bury a guy like that they did with Carl.
I mean, they can bury him, but he's still like untradeable slash still influence. Like, even if they bury him, he still has $2.5 million on their cap. So it's like they're in an unfortunate spot, but this was the best possible situation for them. right? Like the best possible situation for them. Can they do a quick rebuild though? No, not with this team. They don't have what do they have to build around? Like
they don't even have many draft picks.
Like their defense is in shambles. Yeah, they don't have any. They don't really have any top end prospects. Their defense is shambles.
So bad. He is.
He just scored a goal and assist tonight or last night. I'm pretty sure. Dude,
no, because they lost 4-1 or something. So I don't think that's true.
Okay, so a goal.
Yeah, he's just not. He's not good. He's like on their fourth line right now, man.
Kotkaniemi. Like actually Kotkaniemi.
Yeah,
you're not making mistakes.
I mean, part of them. You
just
know,
checking. Just checking.
Moving out all the front offices, cleaning houses. He's not even on Montreal. I mean, part of them cleaning houses that they've been awful drafters now for a decade plus, like right?
Yeah.
Like,
so I think you know, everyone their first move is they have to recreate their scouting and drafting.
I mean,
team.
If any team can do it, it's Montreal because they have the resources to do it. The money. They can go and spend millions of dollars on the scouting department, and it won't impact them at all. So it's like, you know, start out with their player development.
Like we don't see salaries for Gordon and stuff, but or maybe we do, and I just don't know. But I can imagine a guy like Gordon comes cheap.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
no, he's not definitely cheap. Probably like 7 million, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about 7 million.
VP I don't know. Chris Drury as the GM of New York apparently is getting 4.
And that's yeah, but that's his first time too.
That's part exactly. of why Bergevin was skeptical about re-signing. Well, there's multiple reasons, but apparently his number was coming nowhere close to that 4 that Drury was getting as a GM.
Like it was lower?
It was way lower.
I mean, it should be way lower based off of his performance.
That's what Elliot was saying. Well, but Drury shouldn't get anywhere close yeah. to 4.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
Based on his
Ted Dolan doesn't care.
But Drury's a hockey guy too, right? Like he is one of the hockey guys. So it makes sense that he got 4 million, mm-hmm. I feel.
I don't know. I just think with everything around Gordon, I read that he was like with his family, taking it chill in Vancouver with his like not really looking for work. He wasn't looking for anything specific. So I feel like it would take him quite a bit of money, especially coming from New York, being
it's true.
Necessary like very quick development time, it sounded like from at least the public's perspective on him getting there. I feel like it had to be a pretty convincing argument and salary and contract yeah, and negotiation.
And they seem to have had him in lock before they even fired Bergevin and all of them in the first place, yeah. right? Because he came in way too quick for someone that, yeah, like they didn't
like
fire everyone and then start look. Yeah, they didn't fire everyone and then start looking. They found him and then fired everyone.
Yeah. So Gordon's like, if I'm coming on, maybe I'll take $1 million less if all these guys are gone, all clowns.
Well, unfortunately, all those guys are still getting their freaking salaries yeah. for the next however long their contracts were.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show.
I'm surprised that the communications and public relations guy was fired, because it seems like his missteps are more of a result of Bergevin drafting specific people than his own. He's like, how do I communicate this?
But he didn't respond very well, let's say.
So this is where I think he deserved to be fired. One, he should have foreseen and adjusted and made sure this didn't happen in the first place, essentially. Made sure he didn't draft him. Once they did draft him, they remember that horrific interview with the assistant GM with Timmons, where he's trying to explain his reasoning for drafting whatever the fuck his
Logan
name is.
Mayu.
His explanation was just terrible. And so, like, what was the communications director doing, not training him, media training him for that specific purpose? Like, he just failed along so many lines, even giving him the benefit of the doubt that Mark Bergevin's a fucking idiot and Timmons are a fucking idiot. Like, there's, you know, like, I think he has to have stepped in there at some point.
I think they just drafted him because his last name's French. What if it was as simple as that?
I guarantee you that was part of it.
This guy sounds French.
100%. They do draft more French people. Like,
if that guy was black and his name was Wayne Simmons or something, there's no way they drafted him. Like, that's just the NHL on a freaking, like,
oh my god,
right there.
Well, I mean, like, that's true. We know it's true.
Black player, or if they did a quarter of what Mayu did, they never touched the NHL.
Yeah.
But he's a good French-sounding white boy. So, like, good.
I'm just saying, they probably didn't even look at his stats or his history. They just saw French last name. Let's pick him. He's going to be a fan favorite.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, I would 100% believe if that would probably be a better defense coming out and saying that, then. Because at least you admit you didn't do your due diligence, but you were just trying to please the fans.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. I think Montreal definitely needs to do. I mean, they have to take a long term approach. I thought it was so funny. I saw Patrick Roy throwing his name into it, and he's like, "What do they have to lose?" And I saw a guy on Twitter being like, "What are you talking about?" Like, that very saying should cut him out of the running just right there, because it's like, we shouldn't be throwing away this opportunity again. Like, we don't have 5 years to
in
waste.
The running? Like, it seems like
he's French, bro. Because he's a French.
Because
Montreal,
there's only
Canadian's
five
icon.
Guys that are French that have ever done anything in the NHL.
Patrick Roy isn't even. He's only a coach. Has he ever had a front office job?
No.
Yeah, I don't. Like, why would he even be considered? I don't get it.
Yeah, but like they were
because
throwing,
he's
like,
French.
News.
There's like six guys, man. Like, there's one guy on Tampa. There's one guy, like, there's like five or six French guys in the NHL that anyone can think of. Like, have you seen the lists of people's potential replacements? It's like, I've never heard of any of these people.
Yeah, me neither. It was like the assistant GM of Anaheim.
And maybe that's a good thing, because we haven't heard of them and they're going outside a little bit. But, like, really, they just named the only six guys they can find that are working in NHL front offices and decided these are the candidates. That's all they did.
It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. I should change my name to like West, but in French, and see if I can be a candidate. Montreal, it just needs to like restart, burn it down, build up for the. I mean, it's so funny because everyone was saying this at the end of last year, and how their run was so lucky, and how the next year they're not going to be good. They're not going to make the playoffs. Everyone was like, "You're Leafs fans. You're anyone's fans. You don't know what you're talking about." Every single person who said it has been absolutely correct. Like,
I wish I like took more receipts, because like I used to do it, like, you know, like you guys remember, I'd always post screenshots and people like just roasting people. I wish I took more screenshots, but I was lazy over the last year.
Ty's the one that keeps the most receipts people. Because Ty follows Ty people on Twitter that keep receipts.
Yeah, that's a good
I hate
point.
People that bring up receipts all the time. I think it's childish and petty, but.
Exactly. That's my entire personality. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
You remember
true.
Our conversation with Ty earlier today? I wish we could tell that story on the podcast, but we cannot.
We can't, because we don't know how true the story is.
That's a good point.
Which is every Ty story, but this one especially.
We'll get him to talk about it next time. It involves a lady.
Yes. Well, we've been hinting at that for a while. I think we've
gone too far already.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Okay, moving on. Next topic.
No, I just think it's really good. I just wanted to touch on that real quick. I mean, like, Ducharme is going to be gone, I think, because the owner, Molson, didn't give much of a reassurance.
Ducharme has to be
gone, and Molson was like, that's not my decision, that will be the decision of whoever comes next, or something like that. Yeah. But like, even Montreal's fans have turned on last year's playoff run, being like, this was all luck. I think they finally admit that now.
There's still a couple. I've seen some of our DMs recently. Well, they're because, like, oh, you just hate Montreal. I'm just like, I haven't, like, I'm going easy on Montreal compared to some people.
Yeah.
The media is finally saying it was luck.
Yeah, but it took a lot of the established media to like get to that too, right? Like, it's so ridiculous how long they take to catch up with what's happening compared to like anyone. Like, we don't follow this stuff for a living. You know what I mean? Like, we spend a quarter or a fifth of the amount of time in hockey that they do, and everyone can see it.
One thing the established media has been bashing real hard is, and it's really funny, is Vancouver. They've just been ripping them up.
Yeah, but again, that's about 3 years too late for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing where like media should, like, a lot of these guys should have been on it like 3-4 years ago when we were, but they're catching on in the last year and a half, basically. Like, remember after the playoff run, like I remember it was like Craig Button and Bob McKenzie and stuff. Like, or maybe it wasn't Bob McKenzie. Bun's always the one with more ridiculous takes, but he was talking about Vancouver potentially being the best team in Canada the next year and all this stuff after the ridiculously lucky playoff. You remember that, right? And these are like, you know, mostly largely respected guys with huge followings. Craig Bun's on TSN at prime time every single freaking night. Like, and these guys get like this basic stuff so wrong. And it's like, and it's not like they're getting like difficult. Like, I give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to picking the best prospects and everything like that, because that shit's ridiculously hard, right? Like, you know, who knew Tolvanen would just never work out? Everyone, I was hyped on him too. I didn't think he was the best prospect in hockey, but I was hyped on him, right? Kravtsov, a lot of people thought Kravtsov was great, not just him. But like, stuff like not understanding that Vancouver only made it to the second round of the playoffs because of goaltending, and Montreal because of just complete luck for the large part. Like that should have been obvious.
Maybe so, maybe they do it just to be like, look at that, if they are right. Because no one really calls them out like on television. Like, no other person will be like, hey, you were wrong, man.
The thing is with like basketball and stuff, they do that, right? Like they always bring up the clip.
Like, who can get better news? It's always like, oh, good for him for getting the news. It should be who can get the better fucking news and present it better. And be more
like active. If I had my own show, if I had like my own show on TV, I'd pull up the clips 100%. And I know I'd sound petty or whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, these people need to be put on their fucking heels. Like, these experts with, oh, Vancouver's going to be the best team in Canada and all this fucking nonsense. Like, they need to get their shit together. Bro. And the only way they ever get their shit together and start like saying anything remotely accurate is if you call them out on it. Because otherwise, they just continue, right? Like, nobody brings up that. Yes. Every prospect that's been on the top of Craig Bunn's list has been wrong for the last half decade. Nobody brings it up.
Think about this in itself. I think about this all the time when it comes to hockey media versus basketball media. The best Twitter account, or one of the best Twitter accounts, is Stephen A. Smith's burner. And it's like, it's just like a dirty account. It comments the first thing on NBA news all the time. I think a single tweet from it gets way more than any famous NHL reporter, or like even for parody reporters in the NHL. Like, a parody account of one of the biggest personalities on TV, probably in history, gets way more Twitter activity than anyone in the NHL combined. Like, that I think goes to show how much a personality can carry a sport on TV or make it engaging.
And how much just like are like, it's not saying like create a toxic culture of people ripping, but like create arguments and create like, okay, here's what these people are saying. Here's what's wrong. You know, like it doesn't have to be like trash talk. It doesn't have to be like me ripping on Craig Button for his dumb take on Vancouver or Montreal for 30 minutes. It can just be, this is what this guy said. This is why I was wrong. Call him
John
out
Tortorella
on it.
In his like 1 week on TV has gotten more engagement than any
at
other
least Tortorella
person.
Like, you know, I think he was really wrong on the whole like shut up Connor McDavid just play and all that stuff. Yeah. At least it's freaking entertaining.
Yeah,
it was Quartz
is always entertaining.
Yeah, like I don't agree with him, but it was awesome. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah,
I and then think McDavid that's responding to him, and he was just like, "I guess I'll just shut up about it then."
Well, one of the best things that I saw, I think one of the best conversations. I don't know if Eric, you pointed it out, or I saw it on Twitter from Jack Hahn, but it was like this thread about how TV, and you've definitely hit on this point before, the broadcast or networks commentators on NHL games don't actually break down the game. Like if you listen to it, you don't actually get smarter as a fan. They don't talk about the 1-3-1 or the 3-2 or the 2-3 or the different types of forechecks and defensive neutral zone splits. Like they don't talk about any of that stuff. They just say,
football,
look at his speed through
the
neutral zone. Like they never break down a play or really anything beyond look at this pass. He shoots it. He scores, create space, good patience with the puck. Like, football, you watch a play, and I actually
and
don't
you get
know
like
about
deep
football,
insight
so.
Breakdowns, and they have like former quarterbacks in there explaining it and making predictions on plays.
But isn't that because it's, isn't that because it's much faster than football? Like football, you have the time to be like, oh, they were. Because in
hockey
between
has
plays,
a break every
much.
Like 2 minutes, though.
Hockey has 20-minute intermissions that they do nothing with.
They have so much time. I get football has more time. Football is like 5 hours, and then you only get like 30 minutes of game time. I get that.
Dude, they put Kelly Hrudy on the TV, and who does nothing. They put Anthony Stewart on the TV, who talks about nothing. Like, you have enough time. At least TSN has like the quiz, so it's entertaining, and they have the best, like, most of the best reporting, I'd say. But
there should definitely be more battle between like TSN reporters and Sportsnet reporters. Like, they need to compete harder against
each other.
Because it is a competition.
They just pretend each other doesn't exist.
Yes.
That's literally like nobody mentions the other. Like nobody at TSN mentions Sportsnet. Nobody at Sportsnet mentions TSN.
That goes higher to Rogers versus Bell, if anything.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're probably right. But
also, like
but
on Twitter,
no reason they shouldn't mention them at anything. Like you should be. Like Rogers and Bell are constantly fighting with each other over fucking everything. Yeah. Like why can't they?
I think
do
on Twitter
this
they
like
engage a lot
does that
more.
Sometimes.
The Athletic's better.
The Athletic
at it.
Reporters sometimes compete against like the local TSN reporter and stuff.
Well, because they get some of those writers to report or do like interviews with them or reports and guest features and guest content.
The Athletic's more free with their reporting, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they're more user-owned than they are corporate-owned.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot. Okay, that's enough Montreal. I think we had a lot of good conversation there. The Jack Hughes. Let's go Brendan Lemieux conversation first. The suspension, biting. Brady Tkachuk. Do we think the bite happened? Do we not? There wasn't
the
a lot.
Luis Suarez, if anyone's a soccer fan, just biting people and shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched the video. It's hard to see any video proof that he was bit. But I mean, if the apple doesn't fall far from the tree with his dad, right? Or something. And
Literally right after that happened, like stories kept coming out of the woodwork about how shitty Lemieux is. And I think I posted some of them to our Instagram story. Sorry?
I thought there was a clear picture of Brady showing his hand to the ref and there was like a bite mark.
Bro, Brendan Lemieux's apparently reasoning for that that I saw was that he tried to tell player safety that when he went in for a punch, he like Brady Like he accidentally punched his face or something with his like open fist, with his open palm. Like, I was like, bro, that's gotta be the worst excuse. I don't know how he only got 5 games for biting someone. Like, I mean, I'm not sure what prize with NHR player safety, but I like
here's my thing. Suspension for them.
So yeah, what? That's a pretty big suspension for them. And here's my thing. If you just punch a player in the face, you probably get like 2 or 3 games and it's uncalled for. So why is biting worse than just punching someone?
I think so.
Can we get a debate going on this? Because I'm very unclear on the matter. Because remember, who was it? Who spit on someone? Do you guys remember someone spit on someone? I forget who it was.
Spitting on someone's always been like wasn't in it Brady, sports, just a no. I want to say
it was Marchand. Okay, I want to say it's Marchand. I don't want to slander him, so I'm not going to stick to that if I'm wrong on that. But I remember someone spit on someone, and they got us a lot of games for it. And I remember thinking, I remember so many times when not just people punch each other. Like if there's a fight, obviously that's going to happen. But a player just sucker punches another guy, and then they get like a fine or they get like a game, and then I'm thinking like where's the standard here? Like is biting, like where's spitting, biting and punching? Is punching like the least bad out of all of those? Like I don't get it. Like bite, like if I just
I
spitting
think
is no harm, it's just gross,
dude.
So spitting is gross and disrespectful.
Biting can like puncture someone though.
Yeah, so biting, I can agree biting's bad, but like spitting is just gross. It's not really gonna, I mean, during COVID, I guess maybe that's a little bit worse, but generally speaking, spitting isn't like hurtful. But then there was a bigger suspension for the spitting than there was for any sucker punches.
Well, Marchand also licked somebody.
Yeah, Marchand, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he licked Komarov, remember?
And Callahan. He licked a quite
then, good then, Marchand didn't get suspended for licking. So spitting on someone's okay.
He didn't get suspended the first time. Then he did it again. I think he got suspended.
Can you look this up, Luke? Please, we need to know. But what I need to know is licking
for you too. Licking's really gross for you. Like
a sweaty ass NHL player in the middle of a game, and you're just like, but I don't understand. Like, where's the logic? Like, okay, if I went and licked a player during a game, the opposing team,
I
don't get a suspension. If I spit on him, I get a really long suspension, or okay. I can slug him in the face, and then I get a lower suspension.
He didn't get suspended, but he did get a letter from the NHL or something to tell him to stop.
So instead of spitting, just lick people. Why not? Where is the? I need to understand the logic that goes in and what the ranking is between worst to best.
Well, this is what I would say. This is what I would say. The worst is intentionally harming someone with your skate. Like that would 100%
okay,
be
number one. I think
number
we
two,
agree there, yeah.
Intentionally swinging like the stick at someone. I think that's number two.
I mean, but swinging a stick at someone like happens like every game.
No,
you know
but
what I mean?
like intentionally. Like intentionally,
but
like
no, but that's what I'm saying. Like they do
get
it every, like watch any game. They swing their sticks at each other constantly.
Jordan Binnington definitely should have got suspended for doing that. Like,
did you guys see the Morsi thing?
Yeah. Like that, and that was only what $5,000 fine.
Yeah.
So that was a fine. So that was a fine. If I spit on someone, I get like 5 games or something like that. He Morsi literally with that could have like literally killed him. Like if he fell the wrong way and his head went the wrong way and stuff like that.
Relax. Relax. Like maybe like a 1 in a billion chance of that. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. He could have seriously injured him. Let's say. He could have seriously injured him. If I spit on you, it's not gonna cause any injury. It's disgusting. But it's not gonna cause any injury. If I lick you, it's still disgusting. It's not gonna cause any injury.
Okay,
but you get a bigger fine or suspension for licking. How does it make can someone explain this to me?
No,
please. I think it's a respect thing. I think it's a respect thing. And they don't like it because it's so disrespectful, so they're like, what the fuck's wrong with you as a human being? But
punching's
like a okay thing in their society.
But in their ideas of punching, it's like, okay, you're in a fight and you punch each other. I'm talking about just a random sucker punch. Like you're just like in a thing and someone's
that doesn't happen
like,
too often.
But I've seen it happen and there's nothing. Yeah. Sometimes there's nothing. Sometimes there's a fine.
All right.
Maybe
anyways,
once in a while.
Let me finish my
list,
okay, of top three. Okay. So it was first the skates being used as a weapon. No. Two,
second
the stick
is the
being
stick.
Used as like a
which
weapon potentially. And then the third, I would say, is probably biting. Like, that's probably like the third worst thing you can do.
Okay. I can agree with biting, because biting could go really, really badly. You're puncturing
someone's skin in a very animalistic way. To have that reaction of cannibalism. I'm gonna bite this person is whack to me.
It's cannibalism, and that is not hashtag talking hockey approved.
That's what you do with your siblings when you're a child and they're harassing you, is to bite them. Like, but on the ice, adults, like, that's...
What about licking? Isn't licking?
Your visors are in your way. Like, you have to get to, like, even bite someone in the first place. I would say it's the third.
The picture of Marshan licking Komarov's always funny, because it's like it's right up again. He's like...
Yeah, like, licking someone is just gross, but biting someone is like...
Okay, like, so after biting, it's punching.
I don't really care. Yeah, sucker punching.
Okay, probably. But spitting gets a bigger fine and suspension than biting, or than punching.
Bro, if we're talking about
disrespect, if we're talking about disrespect, I feel like licking someone's like as disrespectful as it can get. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, I don't know.
But at least in your defense, you're taking some of the brunt, because you're in the act of, like, you're tasting them. At least with spitting, like, you have no, like you're away from it. So you're not tasting.
Sorry,
them.
What, Martin? Taste is what you're focusing on here?
Yeah, Martin's focused on, like, what he's imagining. Well.
In the act of licking, you're in suffering, but if you're just spitting on someone.
Or are you not suffering, or are they kind of freaky like that? And
do you
like
not
it?
Like the taste of, you don't lick yourself when you come back from the gym? You don't like the taste of your own sweat? What's going on here?
It would be more like him liking to lick his, like, our buddy.
I don't know. That sounds great. That sounds like a great idea.
Anyway, we don't need to focus on this. I'm just very confused as to what a rule, how they determine the standards.
That's not the question. Okay, what was the question is, like, should he have gotten more games? We just had an 8-minute conversation about that.
We get sidetracked. The audience knows this. Okay.
I don't know. I think he gets laid out or something when he comes to play Matthew Tkachuk, and they know that. So,
Calgary LA would be a fun game with Doughty back and Brandon Lemieux back.
Yeah,
it's like must watch. It's already must watch TV just because Doughty Tkachuk.
Doughty Tkachuk hate each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I found more interesting about the Lemieux story wasn't like even the biting. It was the fact that all these reporters then came out and started talking about all the crappy stuff Lemieux did as like in the NHL or in junior. And I was just like, where was this reporting 6 months ago? Like, I respect the fact that they finally came out with it, but I'm just like, come on, man, you wait for this story to then say it. And then like some of the guys' excuses were like, oh, I couldn't get corroboration from like other people that are there. I'm like, well, you're posting it now.
Yeah. I saw that. Okay. This is what pissed me off the most. And I'm going to bring this back to the Chicago Blackhawks and the cover up. That is what pisses me off so much about that story, is all these people all of a sudden came out being like, yeah, this guy's such a bad guy. I'm not saying that they were covering it up, but there was no intent to dig further into it. And like, these are all people that are hating on people in the Chicago Blackhawks organization for the same thing. And just saying, oh, this person, like, we're not going to cover it. We don't want to lose our media passes. Like, this is the same mentality, which is why I am almost always so against anyone who comes out and says, this is what I would have done. Like, no, you freaking wouldn't. It was the same thing with Mitch Marner and Mike Babcock. Like, some reporters said they heard it, but they don't want to lose their media pass. At the end of the day, your status and what you want is always going to come at the cost of other people's pride or some part of like dignity and respect. And like, that's what really annoyed me about it, is seeing all these people that had such a holier than thou attitude about the players not coming out and saying anything about their teammate or protecting Kyle Beach. And then now once one person says, oh, Brandon Lemieux sucks, all reporters and people in the sport say, like, you were protecting this guy. And there's no way to go about it other than saying, like, you're protecting this guy because you're trying to protect yourself, which is what I think the players were doing on Chicago and what everyone that knew about the situation was doing. They were protecting themselves by trying to avoid protecting others.
And the other thing associated with that is too, like, remember we had that episode where we talked about all these stories we heard about NHL players, and then we actually didn't end up posting like 90% of that episode because we were like, we don't want to get, so we did the same thing, right? Like, I, some of the stories that I've heard don't,
but we
put,
don't know, like,
exactly,
we
exactly
have heard,
like, I wasn't there, we've heard from other people who might have even heard from other people or whatever, so, but it's the same, it's still the same concept of, like, you know, where's the line and where to draw it and everything like that. So you have to, like, again, like you said, right, acting all holier than thou about, like, everything is kind of hard when
it's, you know, such virtue signaling. I hate it so much. It's so annoying. Any person that virtue signals or says, like, I would never do this in this situation. Like, I think about it right now with Andrew Cuomo and Chris Cuomo situation, and Chris Cuomo trying to protect his brother, and everyone's saying, like, oh, I would never protect my brother in this if he,
like,
was like this.
Up, you
and
know,
I'm
you
like,
would.
You would, though. Like, you know, you 100% would. And I'm not
you
saying that that's morally right. You just hope you wouldn't do it. Like, I can understand saying, I hope I wouldn't act like this, but you don't know what you would act like unless you're in the situation. One of the best things I ever heard from someone was, I never say I would never do this. I would never say I'm not going to cheat on my wife or divorce my wife, because you don't know what's going to happen a year from now. What you're, humans are capable of so much evil. Like, you're not special that you think you're perfect or not capable of it. Like, whenever this might be something stupid to say, but if someone's like, have you ever thought about killing someone? And they're like, no, I almost immediately don't trust that
bullshit.
Person. I'm like,
think
that
about
is
killing
bullshit.
Martin almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Like, I think about killing Eric more than I can think about killing Martin. But I'm like, it's ridiculous to think that you've actually never had that thought cross your mind. To me, I'm like, immediately don't trust you as a person.
Every time Martin has woken me up at like 7 a.m. with his blender when we were living together,
I imagine
legitimately thought about killing him.
Yeah.
It's just like, literally, like, I would dream about it, and it wouldn't be a nightmare. It'd be a good dream. It would help me fall asleep thinking that, oh, one day.
I just think those people, as soon as they talk and say they would never think about that, I'm like, you're either lying to yourself, or you're completely unself-aware, or you're incredibly naive. That's just how I think about people.
What was the next topic?
Yeah, well, we were talking a little bit about Marchand there and licking people, so I think that's a good spot to talk about him and Panarin and his suspension. This
well,
is what
can
I think
we hear
is
Martin's. Can we hear Martin's take first? Because Martin likes Marchand.
Martin likes Marchand.
Martin's
thought
a Marchand stan, as you would say. As the youths would say.
As the youths, yeah.
I don't have much to say about it.
You said that you thought Panarin was a win.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you thought he was soft.
That seems kind of obvious. Like, I don't know.
But we don't know what he said.
Somebody just like,
Marchand said that he said something about Russia, not that mean. Panarin said that he said something about Putin and Russia, which, for the context of Panarin, Panarin is very anti-Putin and was like locked out of his, worried about being locked out of Russia and had like the safety of his family because of his comments about Putin. So if it was just what Marchand said, then Panarin's a bit soft. If it is what Panarin said, he said, which is what I think is more accurate, then I would be pretty upset with that too.
Yeah, because Panarin doesn't have as much reason to lie as Marchand does. And Marchand's known to be a, you know, shit disturber.
He 100% right? crosses lines. Like, there's no way you can argue that.
No.
He licks people. We just went over this numerous times.
I don't know is, can you give him a suspension for that?
No.
I don't think you can. I think you can say you're a shitty person for, you know, joking about that specific thing, sure. But
yeah.
Like,
well, Panarin wasn't asking for a suspension. He was asking for a fine.
Yeah. Maybe a fine.
Should probably
I don't know.
Fine. You could probably fine him.
Yeah.
No.
But again. You hear some of the stuff they say during games to each other already. Like, they're saying some pretty.
I thought asking
like,
fined was more of a soft thing. Because I'm like, I don't think you can suspend people for what they really say or fine people for what they say, especially if it's like not mic'd up and no one else is there to corroborate for it. You can't just go around saying, we're going to fine you for it.
to me, what was Marchand's intent? It wasn't to like, it was just to fuck with him. It wasn't really to like.
Yeah, but he was making a political point. I think there's like
a line where you align across.
But I think there's also like, you know, like I've heard, you know, NHL players saying stuff about each other's mothers or sisters and shit, you know, like if you're, I don't know where your line's going to be if you start.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on this either way. If you got suspended at a game, I'd be, or a couple games, I thought it was funny. Okay. If I, yeah. I think if you got fined, I'd be okay. Well, he did
get suspended for the slew foot
and three games. And I'm not a Russia/Putin stan, so as the youth again would say. So
yeah, no, I mean, I don't think any of us are Putin stans.
No, I'm not a fan of Putin. Want that to be very clear. Yeah. But
I mean, I know that Eric is a authoritarian dictator, but he's not as bad as Putin in that regard. This is true.
But I would be a good authoritarian dictator. That's the difference.
Well, that's what they all think.
Luke just goes over, you can't put yourself in people's shoes.
Oh, God. Eric. Goodness, that's going to be probably made into a clip.
I would. Oh no. Shit.
It's going to get you fired from work.
Yeah, probably.
No, but Marchand was also suspended for slew footing. This is where I'm like not happy with the league. Not because Marchand's suspended. I think that was right. Subban
slew foot three times. Foot.
Like call him Slewban now. I've seen on the Twitter sphere. Slewban. He did it three times, and I think he got 25K fines. Like, come on, what a joke! I understand Marchand's seemed a little bit more aggressive, but I mean, like, I don't really care about that. Yeah. And then Marchand always comes out after a suspension. He's like, I really cleaned up my game, and bro. The
here's my take on like it. They're using Subban a lot more in marketing than they were before. Like, he's literally on every intermission. His commercial's on.
Yeah,
and that's my take. They're marketing him a lot more. They're showing him a lot more. They're all about diversity now, and now because of that, they're being easier on him. That's a hot take. It might not be accurate. Who knows? That's I don't know. But I think that I feel like it has something. I feel like the timing is just weird. That's just my opinion.
I think that's a pretty dumb take. I think it's just because the NHL player safety is a joke.
No, but then Marchand got it. So, like,
well, Marchand, man, if Marchand didn't get it.
You know, I think player safety is a joke.
Yeah.
I'm fully on that train.
Yeah. So I don't know. I agree with the suspension there for him. I just don't agree with the not suspending Subban. Okay. Now we're still on Boston. So let's talk about Jake DeBrusk. Every team wants him, according to Darren Dreger.
Literally,
Darren Dreger. What's your insider reporting? Well, you know, Winnipeg wants him. Florida could want him. Carolina, really? What team St. wouldn't
Louis,
want him?
Thanks, Rangers. Thanks,
that's your job to tell us is what team wants him and what team doesn't. So you're
across
saying all 31
the three
teams
insiders
want him.
I saw reporting Dreger, Friedman. I forget, it was someone from The Athletic who was doing it as well. It covered, I think, like 24 NHL teams or some way that I counted.
Beautiful.
Like,
it was
so ridiculous.
Great stuff.
And then I thought about it, and then I was like, you know, there's another two or three teams I could add that they didn't even talk about that I was like, oh, they could be added to this list too, because everyone can use every team. They're basically just saying every team would like a 23-year-old or is he 23? I think he's 23. Everyone can use a 23-year-old winger who showed potential in Boston, who's done well in the playoffs before.
Well, I mean, we did that with Richie. I think the Leafs should trade Richie for DeBrusk.
Now, that would be a great trade. Get Richie off this freaking team. But
he's been better late, I will say.
Yeah, the thing is, like, DeBrusk just, you know, he just needs a change of scenery. It's like any young player that just stalled out.
I mean, the comments from Cassidy and Sweeney were not positive on him.
Yeah, I think he just needs a change of scenery. Look at Sam Bennett. Look at, you know, any of these younger guys that once they switch teams, they finally kind of break free a little bit. I think he's already shown the potential of being at least a really good top six or second line winger. So, you know, wherever he goes, as long as he gets the chance there, I think he'll do fine. I think going to a rebuilding team / a weaker team will be in his best interest because he doesn't want to have that competition on the wing like he does in Boston right now.
Mm-hmm. I think then there's no information on this at all. The Red Wings would make a push for a Jake DeBrus type guy.
I like that because they don't have anybody on the side. Like, their first line's great, and then everything below that is atrocious. So, like, I feel like he'd fit really well in Detroit. I think that'd be a value pickup. I feel like that's something Yzerman would do. So, I did like that fit the most.
Yeah. Like, that's my prediction on where he ends up. Thanks, Darren Dreger. I did your job for you.
Also, Arizona, kind of similar concept. But
the draft
pick. I think it would just be a draft pick. I don't think they get more than like a third rounder plus maybe something else. Based on, because he hasn't been good now for 2 years. Like, it's not like he just came off of a really good season or anything like that, and he's slumping now.
So. Yeah. We got two more topics here. Jack Hughes signed an 8x8 contract right off of being injured. I thought it was hefty. I don't really follow Jack Hughes too much, but I did think it was hefty. What are your thoughts about it, Eric?
Yeah, I'm very torn on this because I'm a huge believer in Jack Hughes. Like, just everything about his game, I see. All the strengths of his game are the clear signs of something that a player that's going to become like a star. Like, everything about him, like his puck carrying abilities, his transition abilities, like, just they're all the key signs of like. And I look at this kind of from like a fantasy perspective a little bit, because, you know, I spent a lot of time doing fantasy hockey. And if I was going to look at a player and go, okay, this player is going to be a point per game within the next 2 years, Jack Hughes is the guy I look at and go, okay, this guy, like, everything you can look at fantasy stat wise would show he's going to become a point per game player. So I'm fine with 8 million because I'm looking at him going, okay, if he becomes a point per game player, let's say by this year or next year, he's going to be making way more than $8 million, probably. So I think the Devils did a smart move by locking him down early. At the same time, his share hasn't really lived up to $8 million a year yet, and they kind of did the same thing with him. I don't think he had the high-end skill that Jack Hughes did, but at the same time, like, his share at $7.8 million or $7.5 million, whatever his contract is, isn't a bad contract. It's just not getting a ton of value. So I think it's smart for the Devils to lock them down. They got their three best players, Dougie Hamilton, Jack Hughes, and Nico Hischier, locked down for the next next six years. So, you know, I like the contract overall. Again, he's not worth it yet, though. But last season, he really showed he has a potential. And then this year, he started off on fire, right? I think, and Martin's been missing him in fantasy for a little while now.
He's played a total of 3 games.
And didn't he have 3 points in those games? Am I wrong?
Yes. He has had 3 points in 3 games.
There you go. Point per game play right there. Signs of
what are your thoughts on the contract, Martin?
I like it. I like doing something like that because, like that, I think it can look good in the future. It will look pretty good.
If you look at comparison, like, there are, the thing is, like, and I think this is why people are having difficulty, there are no comparisons to Jack Hughes. There's like, you can't find any similar player profiles to him, really. Like, you can't find anything point wise like, there's very rarely a guy's as bad as he was first season in, like, to as good as he was the next season. And then as top of that, first overall pick, on top of that, like, absolutely dominated in the USHL. And, like, the points that he put up there were equivalent to the types of points that for other first overall picks and other, like, superstars have done as well. So it's like, he's such a unique example of a player. So I think a lot of people that are looking down on that contract a little bit more are probably just don't have a good comparison form to kind of look at and go, okay, this is why he should be getting this amount.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
Yeah. I think it's a good bet, you know, looking 3 or 4 years down the line, it might be an overpay right now, but like we said, he'll grow into it and then exceed it a bit more. Well, look, someone compared it to the Nathan MacKinnon contract, and like, it was like, okay, we're paying for his potential, and now you're way underpaying him for a decent amount of time.
And the other thing is, just to add one other point to it, it's a lot of Devils players have stepped up in his place. Kind of Dawson Mercer has been freaking awesome. Picked him up in fantasy. He's point per game right now. He's killing it. And Andreas Janssen. Sorry?
That's Andreas Janssen's Mango.
Yeah. He's also, he had a 4-point night the other night. Dougie Hamilton's back and freaking just dominated against the Flyers. Like, a lot of their depth actually stepped, like, they faltered a lot right off the bat when he got injured. But over the last, let's say, 3 weeks, they really kind of put it all together a little bit more. So, Jack Hughes is coming back into a much more favorable position for him versus the position he found himself in before, especially with like last season and how bad New Jersey was. So,
From Jack Hughes, we're going to talk about the Jack Adams early voting. I think the top three were Rod Brind'Amour, Daryl Sutter, and Dallas Eakins, from what I remember. Those were the people that who votes for that at this point? Is it media?
It was just the NHL.com writers, basically.
Okay. Yeah, so it was the NHL writers put those three as their top coaches. Those would not be my top three coaches, but what are your thoughts on that list?
Who was the first guy?
Rod Brind'Amour, Daryl Sutter, and Dallas Eakins.
I think Daryl Sutter has to be there. I would not agree with that. The Flames have been freaking unreal. They're playing great. I think all of us kind of doubted him. But he's proven us very, very, very wrong. And I think it's fair to say, like, the Flames are awesome. They're back to kind of their 2018-2019 form or 2017-2018 form where Monahan had like 85 or almost 90 points. Johnny Hockey had like almost 100 points. Giordano went point per game almost like they're, that year. We'll see what they do in the playoffs, but I think Daryl Sutter has to be number one. People in Toronto at least made a big deal about Keefe not getting a single vote, which is kind of absurd considering they're, you know, number one in the NHL right now, at least in points. There are a couple teams with less games than them, so, you know, they can catch up and everything like that. But again, the team's great and everything, but he's got them playing great as well. So it doesn't really make any sense. Like, I'm not saying he has to be in top three or even top five, but I'm saying, like, not one vote is kind of, like, everyone talks about media bias in Toronto. This is, like, the complete opposite of that. I think, who is number one again?
Rod Brind'Amour.
Brind'Amour, yeah. I don't know why Brind'Amour is one. I get why, like, Carolina had an amazing start, so I get that, but Carolina's also a really well-built team, generally speaking. So I don't.
They're getting carried by goaltending quite a bit too.
Yeah, they're getting incredible goaltending. Frederick Anderson's been incredible. So I can see him doing top three or top five. I don't know about number one, especially ahead of Suter. And then Eakins,
Anaheim is definitely outperforming expectations right now.
Yeah. They were one of the highest scoring teams, and nobody thought that was going to happen. But I think that's more unsustainable shooting luck than it is Anaheim actually being very well. But the coach of the year often just goes to the team that just outperforms the most based off of luck anyway. So why not?
I think it's Travis Green, man. To be able to be a coach 24 games into the season with that team and that attitude and willingly saying, like, some of the stuff he's saying to the public, bro, just give him the award for putting up with this year. No, honestly, I think the top three coaches so far, probably Daryl Sutter for sure. I'd also put Minnesota. What's his name? Dean Evason, I think. I think the Wild have been pretty great this year. But the underrated one would be Peter Laviolette because they've had quite a few injuries.
That's what I was like, gonna. No I was names. Literally wow, Luke, you read my mind. I was just about to say Laviolette's gotta have some kindred center. Like they literally are missing TJ Oshie and Anthony Mantha. Those are two legit top six wingers, and Anthony Mantha is arguably a top line winger.
Like 3.7
and Backstrom,
which is insane.
And Backstrom. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've missed Backstrom all year.
I wouldn't put anything past Florida's coach either. I know, like, stepping in for Joel Quenneville, obviously they're playing mostly under Quenneville's system and things, mm-hmm. but it sounds like a lot of his ideas have been working too. They were expected to be good, but I don't think anyone expected them to be this good. I think he's more like him and Keefe would be like 4 or 5 for me, but I would put like Sutter, Laviolette, then probably Evason. I mean, Keefe, I think could be third too.
My third would be Keefe. My first would be Sutter. My second would be Laviolette. I think, you know, to be fair, you know, Laviolette might not have too big of an effect on the fact that Ovechkin is just having one of the best seasons he's had in years, which is already incredible considering he's been amazing overall. And now he's on a 60 or 70 goal pace or something like that.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Just most even strength points in the league, I think, and all this other nonsense. So, you know, how much of an effect he has on that versus Ovechkin just being Ovechkin, I don't know. But I think the top three has to be Suter, Laviolette, and probably Keefe right now, because Keefe's got them playing, you know, they're first in the league. Like, you know, it's not like they're just – it's not like the Leafs as a team are, like, by far the best in the league or anything like that. Like, you look at the team, it's a good – it's a very good team, but they're, you know – Keith's still coaching them very well too.
Yeah. So no, and I mean it's the same thing. Like obviously the coach is typically the one that goes to a team that expects way above what they thought they were going to.
Yeah.
But like,
and I think that's Leafs, Washington.
Yeah. But like even the Leafs in the first 6 games of the year when everyone was panicking, like the underlying numbers were still really good.
Yeah.
Except for like one game. They just didn't have great goaltending at that time and they weren't scoring at 5-on-5 because their shooting percent was like 2%.
Yeah. All the regression came in the last game with 8 goals.
Yeah. Well, dude, they had 8 goals. They had 5 goals, 4 goals, and 6 goals, I think. So they've scored quite a lot in the last
all the regression
4 games. Yeah, and they've only been scored against – it was a 1-goal game average, so now it's like 1.3 in the last 5 games. But, like, they're playing great. Like, I was so down on them beginning of the year and didn't want to turn on the TV. I remember turning off games, like, 3 nights in a row. And now I'm like, man, I'm loving this. This is fun to watch. I think I sent out a tweet the other day being like, I think I would have preferred if they just underperformed all year because I would be hurt less. Now if they get into the playoffs, I'm going to be hurt again.
the one other thing I want to give some credit to is Bob Boefner. I don't even know how to say his freaking name. Sharks. Yeah. The Sharks coach. Sharks Bugner. Are doing pretty well. Bugner. What?
Boefner.
Boner, 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 whatever his name is, you know, Reimer's obviously played very well. He's one of the top goalies in the league this year, but, you know, like they lost Evander Kane, who's, you know, say what you want about him, is a top 6 guy. They lost Timo Meier for weeks and I have him on fantasy and he's been incredible. Like, you know, the Sharks are doing pretty well. So I think he deserves some credit for that. That's my only other one I kind of wanted to mention.
Yeah,
the coaches.
I think those are all fair, Martin. Any coaches that you think we're missing?
No, we covered them all.
Thanks for your input, okay. Martin. You've been really, really on it today.
Man, I'm gonna have to boost his microphone so much.
Yeah, like triple his freaking volume. It's like
whispers, bro. So that's it. That's all we got for you today, folks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.